passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to a post-election neutral news with Matt Connerton. Last time we did a neutral news, it ended up being a post-wedding catch-up. Even some mustard there wasn't there. And this time we decided we would do neutral news after the Tuesday election. And of course, neutral news is always done with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. Matt, I hear you laughing. Are you laughing at me?
I wasn't laughing at all. I'm concerned that you're hallucinating.
I'm hallucinating.
Are you hallucinating, Dr. Kevin?
What am I hallucinating?
Hallucinating my laughing. My laughing.
Oh, no. I heard you laugh.
Are you okay?
I heard
you
laugh.
Do you have
laugh.
A head injury? What's going on? What's going on over there?
Yeah.
Concerned
about
you.
Yeah. Yes. No, you're not going to gaslight me.
Ah. Well played,
sir.
I know what I heard.
So, how are you, Mr. Matthew?
I'm doing well. Just got done Matt Connerton Unleashed in the Afternoon on WMNH here in Manchester, New Hampshire.
And so, tell me, how was it?
It was excellent. My guest that I had on in the first hour brought pizza. So they were, and I say this with respect, Dr. Kevin, because I always enjoy having you on. Because you come on the show quite often, but I have to say, they brought pizza. They kind of are now my favorite guests ever so far.
Oh, because they fed you, huh? I see how it is.
Yes. They're not the first to bring
food.
Yeah, they're not the first to bring food, but they are the first to bring pizza, which is my favorite food.
So you're one of those people that pizza is a food group?
Yes. I don't know if you're aware of this, Dr. Kevin. I don't know if I've told you. I try to share this with as many people as I can so that everyone kind of knows. But it's my stomach's world. You all just live in it.
Ah, it's your stomach's world and we just all live in it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that.
But and that's, what kind of pizza did they bring you?
They brought half pepperoni and half cheese. They brought three boxes of it, so I have enough pizza to last me. They didn't know how many people were going to be here, so they brought three boxes of pizza, so I have enough pizza to last for a few hours anyway. I can eat a lot of pizza.
Okay. So Now, let me ask you this question, which is, besides the fact they bribed you, what was their purpose on your show?
They are musicians. They have a project called Rock D Love. These two very nice people, Diane and John, they came on to. We played a few tracks, talked a little music. It was kind of cool to, things have been pretty intense here politically. Of course, we just had the big, of course it was election day on Tuesday.
Because my taxes.
Yep.
Whoa, what was that? And I heard an echo or something. And then so it was kind of nice to have a little bit of a break from that, a little bit of a breather, and just hang out and talk about music. So that was fun.
Okay. So now, where are these guys out of?
One of them lives in Meredith, New Hampshire, and the other is in Worcester, or however you say it. The city that is spelled Worcester in Massachusetts. So
okay.
They're New Englanders.
Okay. Well, because now Did you mention to them that they should contact me about being on Dragons, Unicorns, and Other Creative Creatures and come on my TV show?
I didn't mention that specifically. I did mention that I know of a couple of other shows that they could get on with that in mind, and I'm going to be emailing Diane about that. So I will make sure that she knows. Actually, what I'll probably do is connect the two of you on Facebook. Maybe that's better. But they would be great on that show. Yeah.
Hey, you know, we've had people come on, and we've had people come on, and we have had them play live music, and, you know, actually perform two or three songs, which we then cut into the show. So, hey, we'd love to have them.
Yeah. Yeah, I will let her know that. Yeah, no, I think they would be great. I think you'd really enjoy them.
Okay. Okay. Ooh. So you get a chance to take a break.
And, oh, that reminds me.
Yes.
By the way, that reminds me because it just went up on YouTube a little while ago. This week's edition of Queen City Chronicles, guest hosted by Dr. Kevin.
Hosted by Dr. Kevin, not co-hosted. John wasn't even there.
No, I said guest hosted.
Oh, guest hosted. I thought you said co-hosted for some reason.
No.
Boy, you know, first I hear you laugh, which actually you did laugh, but you were just yanking at me. And then I hear the wrong thing. Boy, I'm not doing well today. Maybe I should go back to bed. What do you think? You want to do the show without me?
It's a little early, Dr. Kevin. I think you can stay up a bit longer.
I don't know. You know, it gets dark so early. So anyway.
Aren't you nocturnal anyway? Don't you stay up late? Don't you stay up late?
It depends. I actually go through cycles. I can either be a morning person or I can be a night person. I always say, you know, because my mother is a night person, definitely. I mean, to her, mm-hmm. first thing in the morning is around noon. Middle of the day is around 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, I mean, if she had her druthers, that's what it would be. My father, on the other hand, you know, thought that when the sun was in bed, it was time for you to go to bed. And he would wake up to watch the sunrise. So I kind of sort of always wondered how I got created because they seem to be on such opposite schedules, but it happened somehow.
Right.
But I can go either way. I can be a morning person, which I am these days because I get up and swim every morning.
Oh, good for you.
And, you know, today was a lazy day. I only did 81 laps, but I did go hiking for 6 miles this afternoon. So,
wow. Is that how you lost all that weight? Because when I saw you the other day, you were looking quite svelte.
Ah, yes, yes. Not that I am svelte enough yet. I am close, and I'm getting closer to svelte. Right now, I'm kind of svelte. There's no tilt on it yet.
Right, right. You're sveltish.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. I'm sveltish. I'm sveltish, yes. But not quite there yet. I still have a few more inches to go down. I've gone down. I've gone down 12 to 13 inches on my way since July. I'd like to lose another like 3 or 4 inches, and then I'll be happy. So, first of all, to our listeners who've been listening to the chat between Matt and I, thinking, why did I tune into the Dr. Kevin show tonight? this is Neutral News. We are going to talk about a number of different things today. I have a couple of places I wish to put Matt on the spot. He did point out, however, that if you want to see the show that I just did as a guest host on Queen City Chronicles, have you talked to John since that happened? Has he had a chance to see it? Has he been pounding his head against the wall saying, what was I thinking? Or did he think he made a good choice by tapping me?
Oh, no, I'm sure he thinks he made a good choice. We hadn't really had a chance to discuss it. He was on my show yesterday, but we had to talk to a couple of guests that he brought on. But no, I'm sure he was happy with it. And, you know, Jen and I Jenny, we were watching it in the green room of the station, and we thought it was great. We thought you did a great job. So.
Well,
you're a natural at that stuff anyway, so.
Thank you. You know, and of course, grab Queen City Chronicle to put on the on Dr. Kevin Network that you have, Dr. Kevin and Friends. There's another show for you. Like, there's not enough shows on my station as it is. How's my station doing? For the listeners out there that don't know, Matt, who is the founder of IPM Nation, has also created a TV or a internet TV station on which I have a channel.
Yes.
Am I using the right language? Okay.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
So, and people can actually find that at www.ipmnation.com/Dr. Kevin? No. Do you know?
Dr. Kevin TV.
Dr. Kevin TV.
Yes.
And, you know, I actually should have had you make it my Dr. Kevin, since that's where I do everything else. But that's beside the point. That's okay. I didn't think that one through. Dr. Kevin and Friends. So, and it does. It comes on, even if I turn off the mute button, which I turned on, so it wouldn't do that. But it comes on in spite of that. We are independent, provocative, and mobile, IPMNation.com. I like that. Nice job.
You got
it. How's Dr. Kevin TV doing anyway? We'll be right back to hear the answer. A cliffhanger.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone. We're going to do a post-election wrap-up on Neutral News this week with Matt Connerton of Matt Connerton Unleashed, right here on the Dr. Kevin Show. If you wish to call in and be part of the conversation, you can call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. Or you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and right at the top of the page is the posted about today's show, and if you post on it, we will bring your question on air. And actually, one of the things I want to throw out there to get things underway Matt, is that we, you know, you talked at the beginning, you know, we kind of joked back and forth about being a little, you know, off the game or sleeping in or how dark it was. I would love to have our listeners either comment or call in or, you know, whatever they'd like to do, let us know. Do we really still need daylight savings time? It seems to kind of, I mean, I'm one of those people where, I don't want to say it whacks me a lot, but it definitely throws me off a little. Definitely throws me off again a little. And it's definitely worse on years if I am jumping between time zones a lot around that time. If I'm traveling a lot around there, that really messes me up. So what do you think? Do we still need to have daylight savings time, or do you think it's outlived its purpose? And how do you react to it?
Yeah, you know, it's not, to be honest with you, it's not an issue that I personally have ever been concerned with, because it really doesn't seem to affect me at all. But see, I'm odd, though. I'm very strange in that, and this may be why it doesn't affect me. I'm not someone who has a normal standard sleeping pattern. As a matter of fact, when I stopped working at the full-time job that I was at back in October of 2013, and I just kind of started doing my own thing, just running my business with really very little of any kind of schedule or structure, at one point I found myself wondering if I had that, what do they call it? It's a sleep disorder, I can't remember what it's called now. It escapes me. But there's a particular sleep disorder where you just don't have any kind of sleeping pattern at all. It's very common in blind people. I have 20/20 vision.
I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, but I guess blind people tend to, because they don't see sunlight, obviously, so they tend to not have a normal sleeping pattern. I started to wonder if I had that sleep disorder, because I would sleep when I would get tired. But sometimes I might be up for 24 hours straight. I was just kind of all over the place with it. But even now, so now, because I live with other people, I'm not living alone, I have fallen into the normal, you know, you're awake during the day, and then at some point at night you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning. But honestly, there's nights that I'm up till 4, 5 a.m. on the computer working. And then occasionally that'll catch up with me, and I'll be crashing at like 10 p.m. on a given night, and I'm really all over the place with it. So because I've never had like a normal established sleep pattern, that may have something to do with why daylight saving time doesn't affect me at all. The time change doesn't seem to affect me. But I do know that as far as any sort of necessity for it, I believe, and I haven't really read up on it, but I believe it was originally established for farmers, because they had to get it, you know, farmers obviously have to get a very early start on the day. So it was as a way to kind of help them. But in the modern era, there really is no reason for it. So there's no justification for it today other than it's what we've always done. So it's what people are used to. But I also know that apparently statistically, on the day that you either set the clocks forward or back, depending on fall or spring, I believe there's a higher incidence of heart attacks and other health issues. And a lot of people apparently do really struggle with it, and it can have some very serious consequences for people. So like I said, it's not something I can personally relate to, but I wonder if it is something we should do away with. Just because it seems like the time changes really have a negative effect on a lot of people.
You know, and it doesn't have that level of negative effect on me. I'm not like talking to you from the other side or anything.
right.
But I don't think I am. Of course, I'd be the last to know. But it's more of the fact of when suddenly it just suddenly gets dark so early. My clock goes off of, oh, it must be like 10 o'clock. And I look and it's 8 o'clock, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
you know, like it just, there's just some kind of, and it depends again on what your sleep schedule is. And like you, I go through sleep schedules where I'll suddenly get a burst of creativity or things I want to do. And I might work for 24 or 36 hours. I might sleep in the middle of the day. I might be all off. It depends again. Now that I'm married and, you know, and have been living with somebody for over a year now, I don't have that freedom either. I mean, you know, Jeff gets up every morning, Monday through Friday, and has to be out the door at 8:30 because he does the 9-to-5 thing. So there's, you know,
yeah,
that
when you live,
affects
when you live with someone. Yeah, when you live with someone else, you're more apt to fall into that. But yeah, when I was on my own, I was absolutely all over the place.
And so, you know, the whole thing about daylight savings time, and again, I would love to hear from our listeners. You can call in 202-570-7057, or you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and you can post a comment there. We'd love to hear from you and share your thoughts. But, you know, it used to be that it was supposed to also save resources and save money on electricity, and it was supposed to be better for farmers. And really, statistically, it showed it's not better for farmers. It's not better for animals. It actually is more expensive. It doesn't save money at all. It actually costs money. Both directly and indirectly. And that's the stuff that I've read, you know, in the last couple of weeks. Because obviously this time of year, as again it will when they change the clocks in the spring, it becomes a hotbed of conversation. Unfortunately, that hotbed of conversation quickly gets replaced by something else. So oftentimes nothing happens, even if there is what seems to be a majority of people who go, yeah, why are we doing this?
Do you remember when
we're not holding people's attention long enough for them to actually say, hey, really change it. Go ahead. Remember what?
Do you remember when it changed? Because a lot of people don't remember this. I've noticed when it comes up in conversation with other people, it's something that's forgotten about. But when George W. Bush was president, I don't remember. I'm pretty sure it was during his first term. I think it was early in his presidency, and I'm not sure what his rationale was. But he actually changed it by executive order. He moved it up 6 weeks. So daylight saving time now actually starts 6 weeks earlier every year than it used to.
Yeah. I remember that he did that, but the you know, the first nationwide implementation of it was like in 1916. And then there was some shift through World War II, and then he changed it. And I'm not sure why he changed it.
I don't remember any explanation, but it was something he just kind of quietly did by executive order. For whatever reason.
Yeah.
Maybe he just likes it.
I don't know. And, you know, and how it affects you also depends on what part of the country you live in. You know, and then, of course, there are states that have opted out of it. Alaska and Hawaii don't have it. I mean, not Alaska. Arizona and Hawaii don't have it at all.
Well, you lived in Phoenix. Is Phoenix in the part of Arizona that ignores it?
The whole state ignores it.
Oh, the whole state does. Okay.
Ignores it. Yeah.
Oh,
so we just never. So the 5.5 years I was in Phoenix, we just never changed anything. The only thing that you had to remember is if you were doing calls, which often I was, to East Coast or West Coast or whatever, you had to remember half the year you were on what the rest of the country saw as Pacific Standard Time and half the year you were on Mountain. But it was how the other part of the country saw you. It never changed. We never had to change a clock in Arizona.
Huh.
We don't do anything. You guys change, and then we have to adjust in our thinking. You know, the screw ups were, and I remember more than once having screw ups of that. I made an appointment with somebody, like 2 or 3 weeks or a month before that crossed over the daylight savings thing, and then there was always. Not always, but oftentimes there was a kerfuffle of when we would actually speak because we were 3 hours different or we were 2 hours different, and then suddenly we were the other one. And so, you know, I used to keep a calendar. I used to keep everything in Eastern Standard Time because that's in this country, that's where everybody kind of pegs everything is Eastern Standard Time.
Right, right.
But, so it is interesting. The truth of it is, whatever purpose it may have served has long since gone away. None of the reasons why it started matter anymore, and it causes more problems than good. And so the question is, when are we going to get rid of it?
Probably never.
That's all. We will at some point. Okay, so I want to move on to some of the stuff that was going on. I want to talk a little bit until this segment closes into the next segment about what do you think is the fake liberal media correct, and is this a commentary on the Trump presidency that so many Democrats want in so many places, or are they just twisting the truth again because you know they all hate Donald and the Republicans? So I want to kick that around a little bit. And your favorite candidate now is going to be the upcoming mayor of Manchester, I believe.
Joyce Sprague, she won the election. Yes, she will be inaugurated in January here in Manchester, New Hampshire. She's part of that Democratic sweep across the nation.
Yeah. And, well, I know that here in Nashua, we had almost all of the aldermen, all the different, because our mayor wasn't up for election this time. All went Democratic.
No kidding. Wow.
Absolutely. So when we get back, we're going to talk about, and we want to hear from you, what went on in your area, and is this a sign that the American people are not happy with our president? And we'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is Why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. We're doing a post-election neutral news where we're going to try to talk about what has gone on and what does it actually mean. So, Matt, are they blowing this out of proportion, or is this a serious sign that not is all well between the heart of America and the Trump administration? What do you think?
Well, you know, obviously there are elements within the media, certainly MSNBC, for example, the liberal counterpart to Fox, they've been just absolutely giddy over these election results and trying to peg it as a referendum on Trump and Trump backlash and whatnot. I must tell you, and I'm not, as you know, I'm not a big fan of President Trump, but I'm also very skeptical that this is what everyone is, I think, reading into it a little bit for a couple of reasons. Number one, I would be more apt to buy into this idea that this is all part of this big backlash and a rebuke of Trump if there were more elections. I mean, in this cycle, we had a couple, you know, we had the New Jersey governor's race and the Virginia governor's race, and obviously those were both Democrats who won those, and a handful of other smaller elections. Those, I think, were the two most high-profile ones that I can think of. But I just don't think there were that many elections. I don't think there were enough to really say, okay, this means that there's this. In other words, I wouldn't call it a Democratic wave, and I wouldn't say it was this grand rebuke against Trump. I just don't think there were enough elections this week to actually really gauge that. And the other thing is, Politico had a piece up today, some new polling data, which shows, not surprising to me, that most Trump voters are still with him. So whatever kind of rebuke this may be against Trump, I'm not saying there isn't an element of that, but I think it's very mild. I don't know what it's going to take to turn Trump voters against him, but I've said right from the beginning, every Trump supporter I know, there's nothing this man can ever do that will disappoint them or annoy them in any way. They think he walks on water. That doesn't mean that Democrats are not sort of trying to mobilize and, you know, I mean, you know how it works in politics. I mean, you know, one party, you know, if there's something polarizing going on in one party, it tends to mobilize and energize the other party, and that goes back and forth and whatnot. But some of what I saw in the media in reaction to this election saying, oh, this is, you know, everyone's now turning on Trump, this is a rebuke of Trump, I think is way over the top. And I think the Democrats are, I think they need to be very careful not to buy into that too much, because then they might get cocky. And they might, you know, like they did in 2016, they got very cocky and look what happened. So I think they need to be very careful with this, and you know, whatever momentum they have coming out of this election, you know, they should try to build on that. But no, I don't see it the way a lot of the media is seeing it. I think it's an overreaction to it.
And I tend to agree with you. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this and talk about it on today's show, they did say that there seemed to be, at least in some of these areas, an increase of people getting out to vote. They mm-hmm. felt like there were more Democrats who were getting out to vote. And I mean, I've read that in a couple of different places, that the numbers said that they were out there, and the people that voted Republican still had a over 50%, you know, Trump approval, you know, that they still approved of the president and what he was doing. And so, you know, yeah, you haven't changed those minds. The minds are the minds of the ones who said maybe Trump will bring a breath of fresh air to Washington. Maybe he will make some of these changes. It hasn't changed the hardcore anything anywhere.
Right.
And one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up is because I'm not going to say this as a universal statement, but I think that a lot of people that would consider themselves more alternative, more spiritual, that are more likely to be listening to the Dr. Kevin Show on Ohm Times were probably not big Trump fans.
Right. I think that's probably a safe bet.
I think that probably my demographics tends to lead a little bit more liberal and open-minded.
Yeah.
And so I bring that out because it's not a, oh, okay, we can sit back and it's all going to switch back and the pendulum's going to swing and we can just go check out and be in La La Land again. Because
right.
I hate to say it, my experience, and you know, my experience is limited to my experience and my life, but I'll be in full-time spiritual business for 28 years coming up in January. And a lot of times it's not uncommon that people that are are on the heavens and are all spiritual and talking to the angels on a daily basis aren't registering, or if they're registering, they're not going out to vote. I think that the people that identify them as spiritual, alternative, things like this, aren't necessarily a strong, let's show up at the poll place and vote voters.
Right.
So I wanted to have this conversation on this show, and I wanted to have it on this station of Ohm Times, which is, you know, it's still about action in the human form. You can send all the Reiki you want to Donald in the White House, and you can do all the kumbaya prayer circles, sitting at it, waving the hands. And I, you know, and I have my drum circle, and I do Reiki, and I do all this stuff. So I'm not sitting here as one of the outsiders making rude comments. I'm one of the insiders making rude comments. but all of the kumbayas in the world, all of the waving hands and joining of Reiki circles and sending of love to the poor, misguided president does not make as much change as everybody showing up and going out and voting.
Right, of course.
No, but on this show, I think we need to remind people of that.
Right.
And to not drink the Kool-Aid. Oh, well, the wave has changed, so I can go back and light another piece of incense and sit in front of my Buddha and forget that it's voting day and not go do anything. And I do think that some of the ruder, cruder, crasser, harder to swallow aspects of Trump has shaken a few people off their meditation pillow to actually go do something. Like, they just couldn't ignore it. But I don't want them to become complacent now. If you don't like where Trump's taking
right.
the country, and you still need to speak out. Your voice still needs to be heard. You need to make a difference. And maybe you need to run for a local office. You know, make change at the grassroots
yeah.
level.
Have you ever considered that? Have you ever? We asked each other the
I got it out first.
Same. No.
Same question.
No, I had. I almost ran in 2016 and decided not to. I almost ran for the state legislature. I don't think I'm electable.
Okay. And why would you not be
if
electable?
I'm an independent. Independents tend not to win, although we did have an independent just win a seat on the board of mayor and alderman here in Manchester, Tim Baines. So independents do win once in a while, but not generally. And I can't, in good conscience, hitch my wagon to either party. And also, too, I'm so busy. It's such a time commitment. And I'm so busy with business commitments already that I just don't think it would be practical. And above all else, I am a practical pragmatist. So part of me wanted to, but it didn't seem like a great idea. How about you?
I have always considered myself probably unelectable as well. So I've never really considered
yeah.
it, though some of my commentary and blogs and speaking out has made people ask me if I'm running for election. If I'm campaigning, because I have done some very in your face solution oriented blogs of what we need to do to get this country back on the thing. But I mean, it has changed certainly, but there was a long time period where somebody who was outwardly gay, outwardly psychic, outwardly outspoken, nobody was going to touch to try to get elected.
Right,
I just had
right.
hit too many buttons. And I think that that, in some extent, still could have some truth to it. If I didn't set off your button because I was gay, because there was actually a transgendered who got elected, I think it was in Virginia, to a school mm-hmm. board or city board or something. I can't remember now. And so if it wasn't that part of it, then the fact that I'm openly psychic and that I do psychic work for a living and that I think that would that if the first one didn't trigger you, that one might. And then probably my outspokenness at times would also trigger people. Some people would rally behind me, and God knows I can't have a bigger mouth than Trump has. And I can sure as hell put a lot of better statements out of it than what I've heard out of that one. But still, I don't think there's enough spiritual people. Now, you know, Marianne Williamson, who is a icon in the spiritual New Age community, tried running and she didn't win. And she ran in California.
What did she run
get elected.
For?
I think it was a state legislature, but I'd have to check. Because this was not this election cycle. It was the cycle before. I think it might have been the cycle just before the presidential elections or something. But I know that she was running, and she was running for something in California. It might have been state legislature. I don't think it was national Senate. National legislature, but it could have been. I won't swear that I know. But it was it wasn't like she was running for dog catcher or, local school board.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back.
Your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone. We're doing a little post-election challenging here with Matt Connerton of Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can catch Matt Connerton Unleashed Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. You can catch him live if you are in the Manchester, New Hampshire area on the local airwaves, or you can catch him live on the internet. And Matt will post that link on our Facebook, on the My Dr. Kevin Facebook fan page, where you can come and leave a comment if you'd like. That's facebook.com/MyDrKevin. You can come and comment on today's show, weigh in, anything from daylight savings time to was this a referendum on the president? Some of the conversations we've been having today, among others. Also, if you'd like to participate in this conversation, you can call in at 202-570-7057. And have your thoughts, your ideas expressed, heard, shared with the world. So I forgot where we left off, Matt. Matt, weekdays 4 to 6, and he has a call-in, and we do have some stuff, and he's going to post some more stuff for us.
Yes.
So, yeah. I can't remember where we left off. Where did we leave off, Matt?
Well, we were talking about, you know, I'd asked you if you had ever considered running for office, and you told me about someone who had run for office in California,
Marianne Williamson,
who was in spiritual. Yeah, and she didn't make it. You know, it's interesting. You were talking about the things that you think would disqualify you in terms of making you unelectable. I think the psychic part of that probably would, but I don't think, as far as sexual orientation, I don't think that's really
not
an issue anymore. I mean, obviously that's an issue for some voters. You know, you're not likely to get Christian evangelical conservatives to vote for you, but I don't think it's anywhere near the stigma in terms of winning elections that it once was. I mean, I think we have finally evolved beyond that.
So I just want to clarify that up. Marianne Williamson ran for a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. She did not win it. She ran it in Southern California.
Okay.
But so that's why I just wanted to put that out there. You know, and she's a best-selling author, renowned lecturer, spiritual teacher. So, I mean, she you know, the spiritual stuff spook people.
Yes,
so
it does.
It does. It spooks people. Even if people aren't living anything that would ever resemble a Christian life, as long as they can call themselves a Christian, they feel comfortable.
Well, do you remember, I forget her name now. I'm going to look it up really quick. There was this Tea Party Republican who ran for Congress, who she released a campaign ad that said I am not a witch. Do you remember this? Because
vaguely,
she was
very
accused.
Vaguely.
I'm looking it up right now. Christine O'Donnell. Yeah, she had been accused. She had been accused of being a witch. And she released a campaign ad where she actually looks into the camera and says, I am not a witch. Yeah, this was back in 2010. She ran for the Senate seat in Delaware, vacated by Joe Biden when. Yeah. And she had to fight. And this was someone who she is a conservative evangelical Christian. But just because that accusation was out there, she had to publicly refute it in one of the most unintentionally hilarious campaign ads in the history of, Saturday Night Live couldn't have done it better.
So the question is, when will this country, if ever, reach a maturity where maybe a Wiccan does get elected to office, maybe a Buddhist does. I mean, we have elected some Muslims. God knows we've elected some Jewish people. They're not all tidy whitey wash and dry Christians, but
right.
They're still considered real religion somehow. And what
right.
does that have to do with it? I mean, what does it have to do with? How does a religion qualify you or disqualify you from serving a public office to represent the people of your city, your town, your district, your county, your state? How does that? Why should that even make a difference? Do you think, Matt, will we ever get to the place? Will we ever free ourselves from this curse of Christianity, faux Christianity obsession? Because so much of it's
hard to imagine. Yeah. Well, yeah. you know, it's hard to imagine that we would see that change in our lifetimes. But then again, you just never know. Hey, I never thought we would elect a black president in my lifetime, and then we did, and reelected him. I thought we'd have a woman president before we had an African American president, and I was proven wrong on that. So you just never know. I mean, I've often wondered if someone who is open. Oh, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say. I've wondered if someone who is openly atheist could be elected, but people get freaked out about that. And I say openly very intensely, because I'm absolutely positive there are plenty of people who serve in public office who are atheists, but they go play along. I don't believe in my heart that Donald Trump believes in God. I think he just, whenever he speaks about religion publicly, he almost comes off like he's mocking those who believe, and in the back of his mind, I imagine him just kind of laughing at everybody because, you know, everyone just believe, you know, with his 2 Corinthians and, you know, I don't believe for a second that he buys into it, but he knows how to play that game, and he's not even convincing at it, but they lap it up. But, you know, I don't know who would be elected first, a Wiccan or an atheist. I don't know. I don't know which would freak people out more or less.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. But, you know, if you want an honest politician, stop creating unnecessary realities which force a politician to lie. Stop crucifying them for being human or being different. Look at the caliber and the quality of the person. What do they say and what do their actions say? Have they done what they said they've done? Have they walked the talk that they've talked or not? How did they vote or how did they speak or, you know, all of these different things? It doesn't make any difference. You know, nobody goes and attends church any more often than Lucifer, because he's always looking at where his next set of people are coming from.
Yeah.
You've never heard that?
I've never heard that before. Yeah. I like that though.
Yeah. The devil's favorite place is in the church, so he can see who's coming to visit, I think was the saying.
Okay. Yeah, I've never heard that.
So, you know, we force false hypocrisy. And the one thing, though, I know that he's telling a ton of lies, and, you know, and some of them he believes himself. That's part of him being a narcissist. But the one thing I got to respect for Donald Trump is there's a lot of things he said that 4 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, before he got elected, 18 months ago, people said, nobody can say that and get elected president. Nobody can be divorced and get elected president. Nobody can have the kind of, you know, be caught saying the kind of things he got caught saying in cameras and interviews and live the kind of life that he did. And it just shows you, it shows you how much a dying animal will fight to preserve itself by the people who are a dying breed in this country will choose to ignore. How much out of their own integrity and out of their own set of values they'll go to have a mock representative of their voice, who in action hasn't really done a whole lot that's really supported their values. Tell me what he's done to support these ultra-right religious nutcases. Yes,
I can't think
of whatever I want.
I can think of one thing when he announced his change in the transgender policy for the military. That to me was clearly something to appease them and make them happy. I don't believe that he believes that there's any need for a change in policy, but he just did that to throw them a bone or to distract from, I don't know, the Russia probe or whatever else. But that is one thing that he has done for them.
Well, and did that actually ever come to completion, or did that just get tied up because he didn't do it the right way and he didn't follow the right channels, and he's president does not equate with God, so he can't just like pound his gavel and point and smoke people from a distance and make it happen. I mean, he acts sometimes like that's what he can do as president, but he really can't. There is actually procedures and processes and things. So did that band ever go anywhere, really? Or did it just
die? Well, I think my impression is that the leadership of the military is kind of slow walking it, you know, because they don't want to do it. Mattis, you know, clearly doesn't want to do it, but they may not have a choice.
Yeah, we'll see. His consistency of sticking with things unless they were self-serving is not high. Matt, thanks for coming, and we will see you at the beginning of December for our next edition of Neutral News.
Yes, thank you. Always a pleasure.